So ignorance does not protect you from a rattlesnake bite. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 first together, shall we? And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. We're going to do the first 17 verses. That gives us a very good analysis what we have to do here. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. We read that earlier in the sessions. It is shameful even to talk about these things that ungodly people do in secret. But the evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So, ignorance, obviously, ignoring evil, this kind of stuff, or listening to something which we don't understand and not looking for an answer and then just repeat it, would be participating in that same problem. So, and I'm telling you this because that's what we experience with the green technology. We ignore it, or we get superficial thing, and then we run with it, but we don't shine the light on it, what is good, what we do, and what is bad, what we do. So, we are exhorted in the Bible to withstand all this kind of stuff, and we do have the power, okay? But the last 2.5 years have shown me that most people in church are not withstanding evil, but just kind of go with the flow, so to speak. It has done a lot of damage, and that is yet to come. I read this scripture first for a simple reason. At the beginning, Paul lists the kind of activities like sexual immorality, this kind of stuff, and then connects it. And that has a lot to do with all the stuff we did the last 2 years. You say, no, it has to do with COVID and with vaccines or whatever you want to call it. But sexual immorality has normally the consequences of venereal diseases. And one of the issues that is going to come in the future is those diseases normally attack the immune system. And the very thing what we went through, it will also attack the immune system. And there will be no difference unless you know what to look for. And I always told my wife, I said, hey, we're married for 48 years. I have to make sure I'm not going to say the wrong thing. So, and I always say, we never have to worry about sexual venereal diseases. God made it so when husband and wife are loyal to one another, you're as healthy as it can be. You know? No reason. Now, if you sleep around, that's an entirely different story. You know? So, praise God. I'm not a saint, but I want to be loyal to my wife and obviously to my Lord. And so after 48 years, shouldn't be dumb enough to do anything else, but keep on going what worked so far, correct? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, we know this scripture first, and we're going to look at the New Living Translation here. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. And I think that's, human reasoning cannot withstand the word of God. So we knock it down, and we destroy false arguments. How many of you would have to say we have heard a lot of false arguments in the last few years? But hardly anybody stood up and had the guts to destroy them, to say, hey, if you don't prove it to me, you know, I cannot take it. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. In order to capture their rebellious thoughts, you need to know that these thoughts are rebellious. Otherwise, you don't know what you're tackling. So now we're going to go to nanotechnology. And there are many, many sites in the nanotechnology world, as well as in the medicinal world, as well as in the biological world. And so we're going to give you from nanotechnology.news. I give you these sites because if you want to do some further studies later on your own, these are all open source material where scientists and people are working in these fields, are discussing things, having debates, which is normally not allowed on the social platforms on YouTube, but they have their websites where they do these things. And so here's one, nanotechnology.news is one of them. And I quote from one of the articles here on nanotechnology. DARPA funded implantable biochip can potentially be used to deploy Moderna's mRNA vaccine. That's the title of the article. It was written in October the 12th, 2020. And Franz Walker was the author of it. He goes and said, in a bid to try to battle the ongoing Wuhan coronavirus COVID-10, that he called it, pandemic, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's DARPA. For those of you who are not well informed, DARPA is the agency, is actually under the Pentagon. They have a dark budget, nobody knows how many billions they spend a year. They do the weirdest experiments. And we're going to find out about 40 years after they've done it. That's how that works, that's how long it stays secret. And so all undercover stuff, CIA stuff, FBI stuff, military intelligence stuff, what's flying out there, nobody knows what it is, that's DARPA. And they are also in biological warfare. Big, one of the most advanced institutions. I told you before, DARPA itself doesn't have a lab. They don't do anything. They're working with universities financing them or starting corporations of which they are 50-50. The government owns 50%, and the private sector owns 50%. We're going to find out later why that works. It's so important because DARPA is funding the development of an implantable biochip that could be deployed as soon as next year. That kind of caught my attention. Implantable biochip that is nanotechnology that is 1 billionth of a millimeter. And it's a chip that's programmed and communicates. The chip is said to be able to deploy an experimental new vaccine developed jointly by Moderna and US government that could change human DNA. But they always said, oh no, the DNA will never be changed. They have it right there. The chip and the vaccine built on a breakthrough made by then Harvard University professor and eventual Moderna co-founder Derek Grassi in 2010. De Grassi is a Harvard University professor who worked on these things. According to him, he kind of stumbled upon the mRNA. You say, wasn't somebody else the inventor of mRNA, like Dr. Malone? Well, Dr. Malone is the one who used it for DARPA research. But this guy, Rossi, is actually the one who stumbled upon it. So just that you know the difference. In his discovery, which the now retired scientist says came about purely by accident, Rossi claimed that he found a way to reprogram messenger ribonucleic acid, which we know as mRNA, the molecules that carry genetic instructions for cell development in the human body. When you read these kind of things, I know you're normally not into it, but for me this is like a gold mine. When you read this, it says that mRNA is the molecules that carry genetic instructions for cell development in the human body. That occurs. But how does it get there? That's the key. How does it get there? It's not here yet. So he said, the promise provided by Rossi's breakthrough was such that it allowed him to co-found Moderna with private equity firm Flagship Pioneering. That's how Moderna came into being. Now here's a scientist who found out how mRNA works, the messenger. He gets out because he knows he's going to get into trouble. He founds a company called Moderna and goes to an equity firm. You know what that is. This is a firm that takes your money and invests it. And they control trillions of dollars. The company that attracted almost $500 million from the federal government to beginning developing vaccines using the new technology. So our government, DARPA, gave this company, by the way, the company, you know, is well funded by the US government, gave them $500 million, that's $500 million, just to start out and do a vaccine development. Remember, that stuff happened in 2010. In a preliminary report last July, funded by the NIAID, that's the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, and who do you think is in charge of that? So you all know, huh? A good friend. On the NIH, National Institute of Health, Moderna's mRNA 1273, that's how it was recorded, vaccine, was found, and here's the thing, this is what Fauci said, quote, induced anti-SARS-CoV-2 immune responses in all participants, and no trial-limiting safety concerns were identified. That's what I just... Anthony Fauci, obviously, is known as the master liar. The twist of the story is found at the end of that article. So this is a lengthy article. You can go and read it for yourselves. Here, I give you the end of the article. The deployment, however, of the mRNA vaccine to the biochip is far from a done deal. A current row between Moderna and the federal government looks to possibly derail this and any other deals for the former's vaccine. Both are currently locked in a battle over who owns the rights to the vaccine. Because Moderna did a little trick on the government, once they had it, they quickly registered it under their name, and it's illegal, you have to expose who paid for it. Well, the government had to admit that they paid for it, had to bring proof, that's why we know how much money they spend, because they want the patent back. In June, the NIH claimed a joint stake in Moderna's mRNA vaccine. Here it cited a contract signed back in December of 2019 that states that the mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates are developed and jointly owned by both parties. Should the court uphold the technology, then it could result in the federal government owning how much? 100% in Moderna's mRNA vaccine. It's not so much about pharmaceutical, it's about the government. December 2019. Okay, now you know, they went to court before the Wuhan virus hit the world. They knew we're going to make billions out of this stuff. So there's a direct link here to nanotechnology. That's why I picked it out. Because it's that nanobiochip that got my attention. So this info is found also on the nanotechnology.news, the same thing. One obstacle to the development and deployment of Moderna's vaccine is the method of delivery. See, mRNA doesn't deliver it. You say, well, isn't the needle? No, no. Enter Profusa. Profusa is a company in California, South San Francisco, which is developing a nanoscale biochip that can detect symptoms of an infection. Profusa's biochip is made using a technology called hydrogels. You're going to hear a lot more as we go down the road. That were the product of the in vivo nanoplatforms, IVN called. Program that DARPA's Biological Technologies Office launched in 2014 to develop implantable nanotechnologies. So in 2014. So who came up with this idea? DARPA. These hydrogels are soft, flexible nanomachines that are injected beneath the skin to perform monitoring. This hydrogel includes a specially engineered molecule that sends a fluorescent signal outside the body when it begins to fight infection. This signal can then be detected by a sensor attached to the skin that can then be sent to an app or even to a doctor's website. When it was first tested in 2018, this hydrogel was being used to measure glucose, oxygen, lactate levels, and all that stuff. However, this past March, the company quietly announced that it was conducting a study to see if the technology could be used to detect respiratory diseases, including COVID-19. Remember, financed and done by DARPA. Keep that in mind. More importantly, Profusa's biochip is expected to receive fast-track authorization from the FDA by early 2021, which tells us this is the technology that's in the shots that came after the first two initial ones, boosted, they call it. I always wonder what they're boosting. More importantly, fast-track. With this in mind, some are speculating that the biochip will more than likely be the candidate for the mRNA delivery. That's like the mRNA will be the driver behind the steering wheel, but this little micro or nano biochip is the vehicle you're driving to get to the destination. So that biochip is directing whatever they're injecting to particularly go to certain cells and then do the work. They cannot open up the cell just with mRNA. They had to have that biochip. And that's nanotechnology right there. So I thought that's an interesting thing. It sometimes gets a little bit complicated when you go and trace all these things and chase it down and you go, wow, you know. And so if you have been vaccinated, don't worry about it. It's not going to kill you. But everybody knows when you are sick and some other things they would like to do. So as they going to give you booster shots, I told my wife, I said, as we looked at, I said, you know, isn't it quiet? Everybody has focus on Ukraine and whatever, you know. But don't forget, they have never given up giving us another 15 different shots over the next 2 years, you know. Each one will have a more advanced nanobiochip. So obviously we also the guinea pigs in the whole deal. So it's now out, and that's not from my word. These are from top scientists in biology, medicine, who are now saying the vaccines which have been given around the world have protected no one. No one. It's quite a saying. It's going to come out in the next 2-3 weeks, by the way. all the details are going to be revealed, and it's not going to be good. Some people are not going to be happy. But there's another website you can study that deals with this kind of stuff, and that's inwespering.com, and I gave you the whole thing where you can look up. The article was written on September 18th, 2020. So we were just in the full-blown COVID disaster. As early as 2006, it says, DARPA was already researching how to identify viral upper respiratory pathogens through its Predicting Health and Disease PhD program, which led to the creation of the agency's Biological Technologies Office, BTO, as reported by Whitney Webb in a May article to the Last American Vagabond. So in other words, in 2006, DARPA wanted to find out respiratory stuff. Because next to it, Fauci, on the other hand, had gain of function research done how to use this kind of thing that will attack our respiratory problems. It's a bioweapon, that's what it is. If it's released on purpose or not, probably we will never find out. It's not important. We know it's out. And we're going to find out what kind of damage that actually does. So in 2014, so DARPA's BTO launched its in vivo nanoplatforms program, which researches implantable nanotechnologies leading to the development of hydrogel. That's the program we just learned from the company in San Francisco area, correct? Once firmly implanted inside the body, human cells are at the mercy of any mRNA program delivered via this substrate, unleashing a nightmare of possibilities. And you have no control over it. It's done from the outside. Once it's in it, once that little bio chip is in it, and who knows which shot will have it, we don't know. Once it's in it, we are at the mercy of any mRNA program delivered via the substrate. It's in your body, and then somebody just clicks the button and it activates itself. It is perhaps the first true step towards full-on transhumanism. They're just acknowledging it. It has nothing to do with COVID. It's a philosophy that is in vogue with many powerful and influential people such as Google's Ray Kurzweil and Eric Schmidt, and whose proponents see the fusion of technology and biology as an inevitable consequence of human progress. This is why this is so important that we inform the people in the church. Because when you're going to talk about that the ultimate goal is not just to improve man, but to make man something entirely different than what God has intended, we are now dealing in a spiritual war. This is a spiritual war. And the church cannot sleep. The world will tackle this issue because they are concerned about health reasons. We Christians stand for the truth because this is not about health. This is about changing the human, very human, which God created as the one who's going to inherit the rest. And this is what Jesus said. If he would not step in and shorten the days, nobody would eventually qualify. No flesh. So this is the ultimate goal. It will take a while before we get there. Nothing goes as fast as they tell you. Some of them are scare tactics, saying tomorrow is going to be unleashed. They have certain things, but they don't have everything. And they also know, even if they have everything, they will not unleash it all at once, because the people would, you would see big problems all over the world. So they're going to do that in an entirely different way. So he says, in March, the company was quietly inserted into the crowded COVID-19 bazaar in March 2020 when it announced an injectable biochip for the detection of viral respiratory diseases, including COVID-19. That's a private company that created the thing that's Perfusa. I said it earlier. They're working very closely with DARPA. And so, interestingly enough, how many of you have ever heard of C.S. Lewis? Okay. C.S. Lewis is obviously a, a tower figure when it comes to spirituality, philosophy, and he came to the Lord later in life. Brilliant thinker. Do you know that C.S. Lewis saw this coming in the 40s? So I quote one of the famous books here next to Mere Christianity, is The Abolition of Man. He published it in 1942, before the Second World War ended. Okay, and it was actually, these things were presentations which he did at the university level. So the subtitle is very intriguing in the book. It's called Reflections on Education with Special Reference to the Teaching of English in the Upper Forms of Schools. And at the beginning I thought, what did you just say? You talk about the abolition of man. All of a sudden it hit me. He's talking about what we learn from 1984, from George Orwell. They will change the language, the English language, and the meaning of the words to get to the ultimate goal. He saw that. And he is an excellent linguist. So this is a subtitle. I never get it until I read Orwell's. And I go, oh, now I know what he meant. This is what he said in the book. What we call man's power over nature, that's even nanotechnology, turns out to be a power exercise by some man over other men with nature as its instrument. What do you think? Man's conquest of nature, if the dreams of some scientific planners are realized, means the rule of a few hundreds of men over billions upon billions of men. There neither is nor can be any simple increase of power on man's side. Bingo. He nailed it. Could be in today's newspaper. That's exactly what it is. And he wrote that 80 years ago. He goes on to say, each new power won by man is a power over man as well. Each advance leaves him weaker as well as stronger. In every victory, besides being the general who triumphs, he is also the prisoner who follows the triumphal car. Man's final conquest has proved to be the abolition of man. Listen, man's final conquest has proved to be the abolition of man. He wants to undo Adam. Adam means man, human. Okay. So, C.S. Lewis wrote that book after he became a born-again believer. He developed a theme afterwards, which is brilliant. You know, after the book, The Abolition of Man, he wrote a novel 2 years later, and he published it. How many have ever read The Hider Strength? It's a little bit of academia, but it's fantastic. It tells a sinister scientific institution, which he names NICE, N-I-Z-E, NICE, you know. And he called it the National Institute of Coordinated Experiments. The National Institute of Coordinated Experiments. That's Fauci. Which intends to exploit a small university in England as a recruitment center for highly questionable experiments. That's the whole theme in there. Near the beginning of the book, an immoral driving force behind the project, you know, he has the, it's Lord Feverstone. Feverstone. So he reveals what they're going to do. It has something to do where you get a fever. Says to one of the central characters, which is a sociologist. There are two characters. Mark Studdock is his name. And here's the conversation between that fictional Feverstone and that sociologist. They have to make decisions at that university. How are they going to do all these things? And this is what he writes in the novel. I quote him. But it's the main question of the moment. Which side one's on? Obscurantism or order? If science is really given a free hand, it can now take over the human race and recondition it. Make man a really efficient animal. If it doesn't, well, we're done. These two talking with one another. So Feverstone says, if we don't get that done, we're done. We have to get that done. That's the only way that we're going to win that game. So Feverstone goes on to say, man has got to take charge of man. That means, remember, that some men have got to take charge of the rest. Do you think some of the people in the social media platforms think in that way? Quite simple and obvious things at first. Sterilization of the unfit, liquidation of the backward races, and selective breeding. Then real education, including prenatal education. By real education, I mean one that has no take it or leave it nonsense. In other words, you have no choice. I didn't think that Biden has read many books, but he read that one, the way he implements things. A real education makes the patient what it wants, infallibly, whatever he or his parents try to do about it. They can do nothing. What are we going to do? The parents can do nothing about it. Of course, it will have to be mainly psychological at first. That's what we meant to, psychological warfare. We do it psychologically first. But we'll get onto biological conditioning in the end and direct manipulation of the brain. Wow. Can you hear that? But we'll get onto biological conditioning in the end and direct manipulation of the brain. It's the real thing at last, a new type of man. And it's people like you who've got to begin to make it, make him the man. So that character, Stadock, who is supposed to implement all that stuff, is drawn into a gruesome project in that novel that turns eventually into a conquest and ends up in physical death. And that's where the whole story gets. You can read it for yourselves. When the scientists want to resurrect that person, just like Yuval Harari mentioned in his thing, that they're going to take the consciousness, uploading it, the brain, and then put it into whatever they create, and then let them walk around and think that's a human being. No, that's a machine, artificially computerized, and whatever biologically enhanced it may be. But nanotechnology is playing a major part in the abolition of man, you know. And unless we carefully analyze it and scrutinize it and have people who are highly trained in these fields put up the stop sign and say, we need to stop and analyze what kind of things are we actually creating. Right now, there's some voices out there, but it's definitely not the church. And it's primarily a spiritual battle. So, in azonano.com, that's another website where they discuss all these kind of things. It's actually biological, bioscientists, nanoscientists are discussing there and telling us what's going on. There are normally interviews on that website. And there's one interview that really intrigued me, and that is the rise of nanotoxicology. And it's a lady from Italy, a scientist, with all the degrees you can imagine. And she has studied over the years now SIDS problem, you know, sudden infant death syndrome. And what she did is she took all those children she could get her hands on who died to this and did brain after they were dead, brain samples. And she came up with an incredible study. So the case study, March 18, 2022, it was published just recently, so it's brand new. And this is what it says. Nanomaterials are innovating a myriad of industrial sectors, but the consequences of their exposure to our health are yet to be fully determined. Azonano speaks with Dr. Gadi, that's her, a pioneer in the field of nanotoxicology, about her involvement in new research that examines a possible link between nanoparticle exposure and sudden infant death syndrome. Because we always start It's when the child lays a certain way, it could die. So we put them on the belly or whatever. Every parent, when they think, oh, I hope that never happens to me, and we all hope it never happens. She says, there's maybe something nefarious at stake here for years. So the question this lady asked was the interviewer, despite increasing research evidence of the risk of nanoparticle exposure, nanotoxicology analysis is yet to be routine practice in healthcare system. Why is this? She said, if you're going to have all these things around, and we're going to, in the hospitals forever, we're going to use nanotechnology, and it affects people's biological health. Why have we not at this, a department of nanotoxicology? That means, what poison is there going on? And she obviously says, you know, she actually founded an organization that built, but no government wants to finance it for obvious reasons. That's when you're going to chase the rabbit. So here's what the answer is. She gives this answer. If it is true that nanotechnologies are an application of great interest of what science produced, especially economic interest, it is equally valid that nanotoxicology is its unpleasant downside. In other words, you kind of have to check out what's going on. There's a balance there. Nanotechnology applications shouldn't have unpleasant side effects. I agree. Although it is possible to keep certain aspects of an existing problem hidden from general perception, it is impossible to keep them hidden forever. She's right. Inevitably, the general public will realize how the particles used in the nanotechnology field can induce pathologies that can be very serious. The moment in which we find ourselves is that the attempts to conceal these facts are larger than the investment into researching them. So, this woman says the reason why we cannot have a balanced discussion, why we can't do research, what the results are, is there's way too much money involved. All the money goes into developing it, no money into having a balanced controlling. There's no accountability, that's what she says. In this field, there's absolutely, this nanotechnology goes so fast. Like in any, I always say, when technology moves, the government acts about 10 years later to make laws. By that time, new technology is there. So that's a big problem, you know? And so nanotechnology is moving so quickly and so fast, and you can't trace it. That's why it's nano. It is so small, you can't trace it. And it takes experts in order for us to have somebody out there who holds them accountable. Now, there's one thing which I want to tell you, and that's where the church comes in. There's one thing they cannot hide. When the church prays, it's a war. Things come to light. That's what she refers to. You can't hide it forever. Sooner or later it comes out. So we can make a difference. We are not scientists. We're just amateur reading some things and try to analyze what's going on. Well, that's fine. Many times I learn from people not well educated in the field, sometimes have some incredible ideas, and they go, how did you ever come up with this? And obviously the studied one says, you don't have a degree in that, I'm not going to take your answer. But sometimes they come up with some incredible answers. So we need a balance in all these things. In the whole green technology, we need balances because it can be used the wrong way. And it will be used the wrong way, no question about it, if there are no balances. And it may be one of the reasons why nobody out there in power, those few people, won't have a discussion with anyone. And you have heard scientists even, they put out big money, millions of dollars, to any scientist who brings evidence against what they have researched. And nobody takes them up. If I would be a scientist and I have all my ducks in order, I take the $1 million. I go for a debate. But nobody takes them up on it. Because this is not for debate. This is where we put our research in. This is how we're going to do it. And we got a plan how we're going to implement that. On the bottom line for you and me is all this green technology falls under the umbrella of transhumanism. We're going to transform the humans. This is the only reason I'm interested in. God did a wonderful job and he created us. We don't need scientists to remake us. They can have the robots running around, that's fine. You know, they say the robots one day will have us as slaves, you know. Well, let's wait and see, you know. So that's maybe when we need some higher caliber weapons, correct? Like lots of prayers, you know. So it's a spiritual war. It's all eventually against God and his created order. That's where it's at. And sad to say, a lot of churches have actually swallowed the whole thing. So Paul said to the Corinthians, who were actually living in an area where every demonic activity could have happened, has happened there. And he said, I want you to know, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, we need to be so careful so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs or schemes. You cannot fight what you don't know. And Paul also, in the New Living Translation, if you take it there, it's very interesting. So that Satan will not outsmart us. I like that. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. We are not ignorant. We know that he's scheming. We know he's using some brilliant people to do it. We know that he has a plan. And we know that God has a plan. And so we have to withstand these things. None of us want our children to have to deal with that kind of stuff when it's too late. So we as parents today, we have an obligation to get our hands on these things and learn as much as we can and pray against if it's evil. There's a lot of good stuff that can be done with nanotechnology, by the way. A lot of good stuff, okay? Even in health, a lot of good stuff can be done. But I'm focusing on that which they do today in order to advance an entirely different cause. And the cause is changing human DNA and genetics in order to make us different. Once your DNA has been tampered with, listen carefully, once your DNA and your gene pool has been tampered with, you can't go back to the original. You messed up the original the way God made you. You can't undo it. It's done. When they insert into your DNA strain another strain, it's done. So you can't undo it. So that's why we have to stand up before they do these things. Okay? And we don't know what the plans are in the immediate, but we do know the end game. The end game is a battle between Satan and his minions and God and his angelic beings. Satan has his people on this planet, just like God has his people on this planet. And there's only one way to get there, where God wants to go, and that is his way. He's going to win it. He already won the victory at Calvary. I said that on Sunday. It's a done deal for you and me. But there are so many people who are not in the kingdom of God. It's not a done deal for them. That's why evangelism is important. That's why we share with the people the gospel. So Satan would like to get back to Eden on his terms. Remember, he was once there. He wants to go there without God, you know, and without God's people. He wants his people there. So it's a classic example of robbing us of our inheritance. That's a classical example. God promised us Eden as an inheritance, correct? And we shall be with him forever and ever and rule on this earth forever and ever. And Satan says, will not happen. I take it. And the battle is here. And the way God wants to do it is bringing his real created human beings into the garden to the resurrected body. And Satan says, no, we're going to create our own. And these guys cannot go with him. I created them. And he's right. He did. And if the transhumanist would succeed, it was Satan's creation. And so he will claim it. And we said, well, that will never happen. We don't know. We know of one guy is definitely going to be Satan's creation, the Antichrist. That one we know. That evil person will be one of those. And who knows what possesses him? Well, eventually Satan himself will do it. So that's why this is so important. That battle is really important and intense. Okay. So I wrap up nanotechnology with this. There's so much more. Each lesson which I gave you could probably be divided into 10 to 12 lessons on its own. These fields are huge. And we just have scratched the surface to kind of, hopefully you're not going to give up, but have your nose in it. There's a lot of stuff which you can actually read and learn. And if you're well informed, and then you take that against the word of God, and you have something to talk about it. It is very devastating if Christians are those who have absolutely no base of knowledge to get in a discussion with somebody and tell them, well, I think you have been deceived. They go, what do you know? And then just dump the bucket. Dump it on them and say, well, have you known this, 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 this? Have you researched this, 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 this? Or what's that? Well, we shouldn't talk about something which you don't know, because that's going to be devastating for you. So let me talk about something which we really do know, and we can actually back it up. There's resource material there. And this world wants to keep us busy watching TV and doing all the things the world does, because that waste of time is not going to get you to the good information where you can actually sit down and reason these things out. Obviously, the Holy Spirit doesn't give you what you haven't learned. He will bring it to remembrance. But first, you have to learn it. So it's not going to have you a download, you know, free of charge. It's not going to happen that way. So we're going to have to open the Bible. We're going to have to open some material and read it and get excited about it. Okay? So it's a little challenge for all of us. But we live in a fast-paced world, full of information, full of misinformation, all at the same time. And we're going to have to learn how to kind of separate those things and go to that mist. Okay, good. So you have any questions, comments? Did I put all of you to sleep? Little Mike, nano biochip, I put you to sleep. Okay, Brent.
Well, you made the comment that in the next few weeks it'll come out that the vaccines help no one, which most of us are already aware. But that ain't going to stop them.
No.
Because they have a COVID summit scheduled for June, I believe it is, where one of the topics of discussion there will be enforcing vaccine mandates, all the countries involved, and they'll be held accountable for not enforcing the vaccine mandate, universal vaccine mandate. Mm-hmm. So they're not giving up on it, even after the information is going to come out. So
sure.
It lends credence to that's not what it's about anyway. It's about those hydrogel. So
yeah, it's a good observation, and you and I know. I normally ask the people, have you ever watched when a crocodile gets captured? Once they know, they do roll and roll and roll, getting whoever wants to get them underwater and drown them. This is what I see with these one-worlders. They are doing the final rolls. They are desperate. Just because they have a medium, just because they say they have to do it, there are billions of people who had enough of that. And when the masses move, those people are nowhere to be found.
Jen Psaki was panicking because they lifted the mask mandates on airlines.
Oh, sure, it's terrible.
They instantly went to the Department of Justice and want them to look into overturning that judge's decision.
Sure. You know what? If people want a mask, let them have a mask. They can have a cap and a mask and a hazmat suit. I don't care. Just don't tell me that I have to walk around like this. You know? Well, people want to do that's their thing. It's fine. You know? If Psaki wants to walk around with six masks, that's fine.
Well, if you believe it or not, she claims that when they're on Air Force One, they're all wearing their masks too.
Sure. Well, sure. You know, I have no comment. I almost had one, but I swallowed. So, you know, here's what, and I appreciate your comment. These things are out there. You need to understand, when you live in a bubble like in Washington, D.C., and I'm speaking out of my own experience. When I was in the international finance, you live in a bubble. Believe me. That bubble is all sealed. You are in there, and you are going to see only this. Who cares about what's going on outside? I give another example. I lived for a month in a Swiss mountain, military, okay? Everything is in there, hospital, everything is in there, everything is artificial light. You never see the sun, okay? So you just live in there, do your planning and all that kind of stuff that I had to do. So you live in a bubble. You have no clue what's going on, except what you are doing. That's all you're doing. And that's exactly what Washington, D.C. does. They're living in a bubble. They have no clue how people are out there actually dealing with all with life. They don't have to worry about it. Ask people who are in the military. If you are for 20 years in there and you go into private life, you have a heck of a time adjusting to a real private life. Because everything was done a certain way. It's military way. It's a bubble. Washington, D.C. is the same thing. So when they have ideas, okay, that doesn't mean that people are going to accept it. I think around the world, people are about tired of these things, you know. And if they don't accomplish it on the, you know, on the mailbox or voting box, if they don't get it there and they don't go, eventually you have too many people are walking, you know.
Well, there hadn't been a good idea in there in 240 years. I mean,
yeah, it's a good number, yeah. The history tells us what that means, correct? But I still believe, and I'm an eternal optimist. So I still believe if people wake up to the reality, because we know, I love history, I've studied history. I've studied a lot of wars and a lot of history. So if people in 1935, in Europe, especially in Germany and Austria, would have stood up, there would have never been a Hitler in power. Never. Would have never happened. You would have killed it in the cradle, right there. Nazism would not be a word which we use today if that would have happened. But people were complacent. People thought, well, that's not my business, until it became your business. You know, I assume the Chinese could say the same thing when Mao Zedong came in power. He came down from Mongolia. He was hiding. He came down from Mongolia with his army. And everybody thought, that's a bunch of baloney that lunatic is actually accomplishing anything. Until he took whole China. Yeah, they didn't believe it. They didn't understand it. So today too, the thing is the same. People in power believing that the power is greater than the will of the people. That's what gets them more power. So, and you look, let's look away from the political. Every denomination in the religious circles have its own little power structure. Every one of them. And when they're up in the highest office, I call it in the Mecca, you know, when they arrive in Mecca, they don't care about the people in the pews. They just dictate from the top down. But in the churches, the people have a way out. They just walk out of the church. See? And the denominational leaders don't care. Because you say, well, isn't that important? No. When a church gets to a certain size in a denominational structure, and they can't support themselves anymore, the headquarter takes the property. They want the property. They make more money with the property in a world where we are fully developing real estate, especially the old churches who are downtown in big development areas. They take it and sell it. They make more money with that than having these few people for the next 25 years in the church. They can never come up with that money. Yeah, read the stories, what they do. They take right from people. A local church belongs to the local people, not to a Mecca dictator. It belongs to the local people. Who built it? The local people built it. Who sustains it? The local people. This is their house to worship. This is not a denominational house. This is your house here. This is not my house. This is your house. I'm just preaching here. This belongs to God's people. It doesn't belong to any denomination. That's why I would never join a denomination. The people in this church say what's going on, not somewhere who had nobody, no interest at all in what's going on in Jewel. Who is Jewel? Where is Jewel anyway? I had to look it up on the map before I got here. It's true. So, yeah, this is our church. This belongs to the people. And the government needs to learn that too. This country does not belong to the government. It belongs to the people. You know? They never read the first sentence of the Declaration. So it says, we the government? Is that what it says? I read last time it says, we the people. So they need to be reminded of this. So people need to stand up and say, hey, let's correct that problem.
Well, and if you'd read the Founding Fathers, they warned about exactly what you talked about with the people would have stood up in Germany, there'd have been no Hitler. Same thing in pre-Mao Zedong China. You know, Founding Fathers said that, you know, they're basically going to just bear with the bonds of tyranny mm-hmm. as long as they're comfortable. And it's familiar, and so they'll do it. But the thing is once you, yeah, and once you can't withstand that, then it's too late. You know? When it becomes unbearable, it's already lost. So there's no such thing as bearable tyranny in my eyes.
No, but. No, it's not. Tyranny should have absolutely nothing to give in this world. Tyranny has its root base in satanic power, not in Holy Spirit power. So obviously, we as a nation, we have put God out of every public square wherever we could. And so technically we pushed him back into the churches, correct? And the churches stood there and said, yeah, that's fine, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to engage in anything until we wake up and our kids come home from school telling us when they're 5 years old how they should have sex. And they're telling us all these things that they are now having to repent because the skin color is not the right one, you know. And then they're telling the parents, well, you have nothing to say. I'm going to tell my teacher. They're going to come for you. And you go, really? You know, that's what we do. These are all the breakdowns of the principles which God has laid out in the Bible not to do, you know. So, yeah, we have to stand up for these things.
The truth of God and tyranny can't occupy the same space.
You got that idea.
Which is why communist leaders have always run God out of the public sphere to institute mm-hmm. communism.
Yep. So. Now, you talk about, you know, sphere or holy place. When God says to the Israelites, this land is your land. This is your land. This is holy ground. Okay? And God tells them very clearly, you protect that land. You have no business to go and fight any other war or take any other territory. If you go outside these boundaries and you want to take territory from somebody else, you are working against me. I will be against you. You only stay there what I have assigned you. By the way, Deuteronomy 32, I have assigned you these boundaries. And you stay within these boundaries. And your job is to protect it against enemies who want to come in here. If America would have lived that principle, we would be the most prosperous nation for the next 500 years on this planet.
We had that principle written down by the Founding Fathers, by the way. So.
Yeah, they took it from the Bible,
right.
You know. So we only fight those who want to come in. We protect our land because when God is in it, this is holy ground, and those who want to invade are unholy invaders. And we don't let it happen. That's the biblical principle. So, from a spiritual aspect, you all learned that. Every nation has its Elohim in the spiritual realm, they're ruling. And they are as hungry as our politicians for more power and more land and more resources. So they're fighting one another. And they try to gobble up somebody else. And there's always a big battle going on. And we are experiencing that in the physical down here, you know. But when it's all coming down to the end and Jesus comes back and he separates all the nations, he will recognize the boundaries of the nations because the Elohims have by that time been locked up. So now he's dealing with the nations and its leaders. What a glorious day that will be. It's going all back Amen. To square one. No transhumanism there. It's going to go to the real people. It's pretty exciting for those who love the Lord and know the Lord. Good stuff. Anyone else? Brett took your breath away. No one? Well, that's awesome. we can start earlier with the worship practice. That's wonderful. There's always a benefit to everything if you look at it the proper way, correct? Good. So next Wednesday, we're going to come together and we're going to do a wrap-up of all these technologies, and we look at transhumanism and where they want to shape us, including the church, and then what we can do about it, how we can actually tackle it. So the information just gives you kind of, oh, this is what they do. But now we need to know, how can we actually withstand those schemes of the devil? Okay, and they're only intensifying. And one of Marvel's is what Brett mentioned, you know, they're going to plant this and this and this and this. Yeah, Satan has a million plans on the million people doing the planning. But you know what? God has his plan. And we have to focus on his plan. We're marching on. Hey, a few took down the Roman Empire. Can you imagine? If we stand together, yeah. Well, that's a spiritual battle. That's not a physical one. Yep. History is filled with it. Good. So don't forget Saturday. The ladies, you have your one-day retreat. 4:30, all of you have signed up for dinner. We're going to be over at the Ed Center. It's 4:30, correct? Dinner. And then at 6 o'clock, we come here to the sanctuary, and we're going to have a worship evening together. Okay? And then on Sunday, we get back together. We should be fired up every time we meet. How about that? Good. Hey, Peter, would you give your mic to Ben? He's eager to pray. No, the one behind it.
We can do that. I can kick it off.
All right, Father, thank you so much again for this time, just to gather together, Lord, and be able to get a better understanding of what's going on in our world, and that we would be able to explain that to others, Lord, and have good conversations, that you would just bless that as well. And again, we just are so thankful for our church and just to be able to encourage one another in this day. With everything that's going on, and it's just a great place to come and get re-energized, and we are so thankful. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, thanks a lot for coming, enduring all this. I know sometimes it's a heavy subject, but we'll get through it. Okay? God bless you all. I see you Saturday morning.